The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Winners and sinners. On The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Saoirse Hanley, the features writer with the Irish Independent, and Ger Gilroy from Off the Ball are with me to pick winners and sinners from the week gone by. Ger, who's your winner of the week?
The return of the movie star.
Oh.
This is a little bit hysteric, so you're going to have to go with me here, right?
Right.
Robert Redford died this week, obviously, a legendary actor.
Yes.
And made you pine a little bit for the time in the 70s when there were loads of movie stars. There's mm-hmm. all the photographs of him and Steve McQueen playing.
I remember it well, yes.
Ping pong. It was like, hey, these guys look pretty impressive. I mean, what? Look at them. That's insane. And then just this week, one battle after another, Leonardo DiCaprio's new movie is the best reviewed movie of all time, according to Metacritic.
What?
Or certainly, you know, whatever new hyperbole thing on it, maybe for a movie that was released on a Monday. No, certainly the reviews that have come in are like, this is
with too many words in the title.
I suspect that there might be, it's playing off everything else that's happening in the world because it's a paranoid ex-revolutionary living off-grid. And so it's of the moment.
It's zeitgeisty, as they say. Zeitgeisty.
Yeah. And Cillian Murphy has done a new movie.
Steve.
Yeah, in which he uses his own accent.
I was listening to him being interviewed about this. I shouldn't say this because people should tune in to John Faraday interviewing him on Screen Time at the weekend.
Yeah.
But if one just happened to accidentally have turned on another radio station this morning at 9 o'clock and heard Dermot Whelan interviewing him, he was talking about his own accent. So in the book that this is based on, there's no his character doesn't really exist.
Yeah.
The head teacher doesn't exist. Did you know this?
Well, only reading about it today, and I was like, "Yeah, oh, this is kind of interesting." That
they wrote it basically for him, and they just decided essentially, "Oh, it'd be just easier to do it in your own accent,
be who you want to be."
But yeah.
I just think his career path. So he made a tiny movie after Oppenheimer. He's made this next, and the Peaky Blinders film is next.
Oh yeah,
where he could have just gone into Marvel and made like 20 million a pop, been some superhero you haven't heard of. And cashed in on his blue eyes, but he hasn't.
The green leprechaun.
I just think that there's like a, you know, because remember Tarantino said George Clooney wasn't a proper movie star.
That's so rude. He does espresso ads all the time.
Well, you see, that would probably be in Tarantino's favour, wouldn't it?
What makes someone a proper movie star?
You want to go and see the film because they're in it.
Okay, so that's it. So you're not going to see a Marvel movie. You're going to see a Cillian Murphy movie.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, I also think that there's like a, ooh, this is an event. They've done something for the last 2 years that they've put all their time and effort and energy into. And I want to go and see it because, like, I'd say DiCaprio kind of, there was a wax and wane for a while there. He made the 4-hour long thing with Scorsese that nobody actually watched.
Nope, make it through that, unfortunately.
No.
Eventually, DiCaprio, though, if he keeps doing what he does in his personal life, he's going to teeter closer and closer to cancellation, isn't he? If he keeps like trading in girls when they get to 27 for another girl who's 26. He just keeps doing
going
this.
Going to billionaire weddings, yeah.
You know, I think like it's kind of people turn a blind eye, you know. They're eccentric, these movie stars, a little bit. But it's going to get it's getting progressively creepier.
Well, yeah, I think it was already creepy, just to put that out there. But no, I think it stopped.
On the record.
I think somebody
Ger Gilroy exclusive. DiCaprio is a creep.
I think it has stopped. I think somebody
from Page in the Mail
number.
Tomorrow started. Anyway,
well, Sunday. I do think that stopped recently. I have not been paying enough attention to his love life, so maybe that's one of the other things you need to.
I think he let this current one get to 28. But I mean, she's on death row. Let's be honest about it. She is
the
circling
emperor.
The drain. She's in the departure lounge.
What I will say about Cillian Murphy
and some unsuspecting 25-year-old out there
model
is
probably
walking around, not knowing what's coming.
Did you both see that Cillian Murphy did a DJ set in Cork?
No,
a secret surprise DJ set. Well, I actually put those two adjectives there. I don't know if it was secret or surprise. But I think it was potentially a low-key event as part of a festival in Cork. And he was DJing and it was cool. And I've never been so jealous to be somewhere because that would have been really, really, really sick. My friend met him once in the Dingle Aquarium.
Do you think that he is a movie star then in the old-fashioned sense outside of Ireland? Do people go to see a Cillian Murphy movie?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. Mm. But I do think that there is, like, you know, when the body of work comes to be looked back, everybody goes, oh, that was an absolute
star. His is absolutely brilliant, yeah.
And it will be interesting to see what blockbuster he does after the Peaky Blinders thing. you know, the next time he's not in the next Christopher Nolan film, whatever that is.
Glenn Powell apparently is obsessed with being the next movie star.
Right.
Like, this is his big thing. He wants to be like, you know, like, I guess, like a Robert Redford or a Paul Newman or a Steve McQueen or a George Clooney or Tom Cruise. People would have gone to a Tom Cruise movie, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
I did rewatch Twisters the other day on a plane, and I support it. I back it if he's asking for my opinion. Glenn,
yeah,
go for
you it. Go. You'd go and see a Glenn Powell movie.
Absolutely, I would.
Regardless what it was about.
Even though I really didn't like anyone but you, but everything else he's been in, stellar.
All right, okay. Okay, worthy winners of the week then. Movie stars. They don't often get the credit they deserve, these A-listers.
Pat on the back.
These A-listers with their trophy 22-year-old girlfriends don't often get the credit they deserve. Saoirse, who's your winner of the week?
Well, it's actually very fitting because I've gone for a similar vein of some young Irish talent are my winners this week. Mostly because I don't know if you guys are aware of the wonderful actress Danielle Galligan. I followed her for a while because she starred in a Netflix show, Shadow and Bone, which was an adaptation of a book that I loved, and they cancelled after two seasons, as they are wont to do a lot of the time. But she was in that, so I followed her since, and just on scrolling through Instagram the last few days, it came up that she was at some red carpet on Tuesday, say. And I was like, oh, that's interesting, that looks cool, whatever. Next day, scrolling again, she was on another red carpet, and I was like, geez, they're really rolling out this thing. But it was actually just the two really big shows are about to land on various platforms, with RTE or Netflix, and it's The House of Guinness and The Walsh Sisters. And each of those has a huge host of like Irish talent. You've got Anthony Boyle, who was in Say Nothing. You've got Fionn O'Shea, who's in Normal People. All these different people are appearing in these things. And it's just really nice to see, I don't know, a lot of young Irish talent coming up, going through. And especially, I think, Danielle Galligan in particular, she lives in Dublin, which I love. Because, you know, when you have Irish stars who are kind of up and coming and they are doing really well and then they move and you're like, oh, we've just lost this talent being around. But I think it's nice that a lot of the talent is still based here and wonderful. Mm. And it's nice to see. And I'm excited to watch both.
What are people saying about House of Guinness?
So far, I haven't seen a whole lot. I know
there
what it was.
There seems to be not, there's not huge hype, is there?
It kind of seems to have a I think for, there was hype when they first announced it, and then hype when they were talking about how they were filming in Manchester and making Manchester look like Dublin. And everyone was like, well, we actually have a Dublin right here.
Yeah.
But I think the cast has definitely drawn attention. And I think it could be one of those sleeper things that it comes out and then suddenly we're all watching it like a week later.
Mm. She was in Obituary. I don't know, did you watch that?
Haven't seen it. Was also available really on the plane. I haven't seen it.
It's actually really good. It's like, whoa. It's in, it's not Carrick and Shannon. It's in Donegal, where Andrea's from. Ballyshannon.
Ballyshannon.
Whoa, got there eventually.
Yeah.
But it was really good. It was one of those kind of things that you're like, ooh, Irish, high end. Doesn't, you wouldn't know it was Irish.
Yeah,
but that's it. Like, we're quick to discount it. Like, we were talking during the week, everyone's watching Traitors, and how sometimes an Irish version of something you're expecting it to be less than, but it, like, it's garnering every bit of attention the UK one was, and it's fantastic.
Is the Irish version of Traitors noticeably lower budget than the UK one when you watch it?
Not that I've noticed. I'm a bit behind, having been away. I couldn't catch up yet. But from what the episodes that I did see, I certainly didn't think so, because normally I'm kind of prepared for that.
Have you inured yourself to the, or not inured yourself, what am I saying? Have you made yourself, have you avoided the spoilers?
No,
basically?
I haven't. That's my problem. I've got a good few episodes to catch up on, and I was just saying that I'm kind of frustrated because I know what's happening. I know who's going to be gone. I know what's going on. I know the ins and outs.
You're not
going
to watch it back then, are you? Skip ahead.
Well, I asked somebody the other day, are you going to watch where we left off or pick up where you last saw it? And she said, those are both the same thing. So clearly I haven't decided which of those two I'm going to do. I feel like if I pick up where I left off, it's kind of stolen valor though, you know. It's like I get to the end and everyone's like, that was so great, and I'm like, yeah, I agree, even though I saw half of it.
Anyway, so worthy winners of the week all round. The House of Irish stars.
Yeah.
Irish talent. And A-list talent. A-list talent. Jer, who's your sinner of the week?
Well, I just wanted to talk a bit about the Jimmy Kimmel stuff. I find this really interesting, the way it has happened. You know, it's like the Hemingway quote about going bankrupt really slowly and then quickly all at once. And it's like, is this a free speech thing? Yeah, it kind of is. Is this a censorship thing? Yeah, it kind of is. Has it been in the post for a couple of years? It absolutely has. But now that it's here, it's like, what's gonna happen next? Like, obviously, the politics of this aren't just Jimmy Kimmel was taking the piss out of Trump for years, and he has been doing for about a decade. And obviously, Trump wants to get him. But equally, in the background, there are massive billion-dollar deals being done, and who owns the media in the States is a bit up for grabs at the moment, and everybody wants to keep on the right side of Trump's essentially his regulator, who has the power to, doesn't really have the power to take Jimmy Kimmel off. He did say that we can do this the easy way or the hard way. And they were like, okay, the easy way is going to be what it is for us. And Trump has been suing them for a load of stuff and they've just been rolling over. And it turns out when you roll over, he pushes further and further and further. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. Did you cover it in the show?
Yeah, we did. We spoke to a few different people. We spoke to Scott Lucas and Harry Brown about it. You know, Scott's in the Clinton Institute in UCD and Harry Brown's in Technological University of Dublin. And yeah, they were both of a similar mindset. They would both have a similar worldview, I guess you could say. So not surprising they were of a similar mindset. Scott's argument was that, you know, it was essentially that... you've got two things going on. You've got that Project 25 thing happening, you know, in real time that they tried to dismiss in the run-up to the election, and actually so much of it has happened now. And if you want to answer that question of what comes next, you just look at that. You know what I mean? That's the roadmap. He also made the point that he, in his mind, you know, Trump is almost the useful idiot in this because... Trump really does just want to get Jimmy Kimmel off air because he doesn't like him. You know what I mean? He's not a strategist. He's not thinking about... you know, breaking the media and reshaping the United States, you know, is just kind of, it's all tactical. It's all vindictiveness and pettiness and just
opportunistic,
one battle after another. How does this, every situation's a zero sum game. How does this, how does this thing benefit me? What happens to, what do I need to make happen here for me to accrue a benefit? And then he thinks it's actually the J.D. Vance's of the world
who are more dangerous.
Who are much more dangerous because they're just more strategic thinkers, and they are much more of the view that there's and again this is like what Scott and Harry were saying, of the view that there's an enemy within, a genuine enemy within, that's undermining the country, and they believe this wholeheartedly.
I think it's difficult to deny that their democracy is under very significant threat. And
absolutely,
every time you see a little bit, you're like, ah, it's not that bad, or it's not that big a deal. And like, you know, it's late night talk show in America, totally different country. Why are we talking about it? Because I do feel like this week he was in England telling Keir Starmer how to run his country. And Keir Starmer's really just standing there kind of taking it, going, do-do-do. And we kind of need American superpower to protect us against Russia. And they're not really that... not interested in doing that anyway. So it's this weird situation that Europe finds itself in where we're not quite prepared for what's coming next.
Yes.
I just find it interesting. I think that the speed at which they acted to get him off the air, it's very difficult to get him back on air. Mm. He's going to have to come on and make some apology, and a lot of the affiliate stations are saying we don't care, we're not going
to... Yeah, they want like a donation as well to Turning Point, I think it was. They were like, we're requesting you donate to the like podcast foundation or something that Charlie Kirk had. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, and I suspect that they know he won't do that.
Yeah.
And so that leaves you in this limbo where they get to replace a critic of Trump late night, and they now have power over the TV stations. They're like, oh, we can do what we want here.
There's only one Jimmy remaining on late night television.
And he's kind of bland, isn't he?
I did see something from him talking. Fallon. He like did a bit of a skit.
Get rid of him. I'm with Trump on that. Get rid of him.
You've chosen a Jimmy side.
I just cannot abide Jimmy Fallon. I just think he's a dose.
Well, he did come out with something at least, kind of a faux censorship worth looking at. It was funny. It was good. Yeah. But I think people wanted him to say more.
Would it make you less likely to go to the States, all of this?
I think so, yeah. Certainly, like I loved my J1, was a transformative experience. I love going back and would love to bring the kids, but just won't now.
I was just there last week and we booked it a long time ago, and every time I said I was going, I was like, I actually booked it a while back. It's actually not
Were you nervous? Because I know this kind of speaks to your Sinner of the Week, which we'll get to in a moment, but were you nervous about going?
Yes, I was, yeah.
Did you have to give up? Did you have to tell them in advance like details of your social media accounts?
So I have...
Have you got burner accounts that are just pleasant memes of Donald Trump and J.D.
Only
Vance?
Nice things that I have to say about him, which are limited. I have a media visa because I went on a trip last year. So that lasts for 5 years. So I had that sorted. But then I had to get an ESTA separately because I wasn't traveling for work, it has to be its own thing. So I got an ESTA. And for the ESTA, at least at the moment, which is kind of the visa waiver program, the the social media section is optional. So I conveniently left that out.
Okay.
But I think if you're applying for, if I was applying for the media visa now, or I was going for like that J1 or graduate J1, it would have to be included. And I was scared. I was like going through my Twitter, or my ex rather. I looked up my own handle followed by Trump to be like, what did I post or what column did I write about him? There was a few. I took them away off my Twitter at least. But I mean, like, I really was scared. We were all, there was six of us traveling, two of us were journalists, and we got varying responses at pre-clearance, which is interesting. I did get asked, like, am I covering this? Am I reporting on anything? And after he was like, yeah, go ahead. He was like, wait, are you still a journalist? And I was like, yes, I am. And he was just like, okay, bye. That was it.
But okay. Like,
scared.
Yeah.
But phone wasn't taken off me. Nobody's was. It was actually very chilled aside from that.
Yeah, we flew in from Canada earlier in the year. And like that, we were kind of steeling ourselves for interrogation. And yeah, your man didn't care. He couldn't have cared less. But I, yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, making small talk with the kids, you'd be like, where would you go if you could go? Would you go to New York? Would you go to California? Would you go to Disneyland? Whatever. Yeah. And I think I'd ask them that question less often now in the future. I don't want to kind of create this expectation that I'm ever going to bring them. I think I'd be reluctant to bring them. And I remember when, it's funny, the democracy thing. So say the likes of Fintan O'Toole or whatever would have been writing about this for years. And I'll admit now, I was one of those who just rolled my eyes. I was like, oh, go away, will you, with your kind of threats to democracy. You know what I mean? And now in hindsight, I suspect perhaps Vinton the odd time knows what he's talking about.
Well, the
the odd time.
Watching the great arc of history, Colm Tobin was talking about this just recently, talking about the playbook from the 1930s and just this slow until everybody turns around and goes, yikes, how did that happen? It's like, well, because we didn't say stop along the way. And so it's just a talk show host on a late night network in America in this bit. And it was just putting the National Guard on the streets in Washington to respond.
Yeah, I see. I think that's really chilling
necessarily
now.
And they can do it in other cities.
Yeah.
And they point to like, oh, the murder rate's caught. Like,
Do you feel a bit hopeless in the fact that I feel like, maybe it's because I tend to think I maybe live in a bubble where people around me think the same things I do. But do you not feel like people are saying like, wait, this is crazy. Hey, let's stop. But I don't think it does anything. It's similar to like in Palestine, people, everybody's like, oh, nobody's doing anything. So people we
say, yeah, it's crazy, let's stop.
But you think people who are
in a majority of Americans, I don't think, aren't. I think some people are.
Yeah.
I think there's always a cohort of people. Sorry, there'll be a cohort of people who are saying, let's stop. There'll be a cohort of people who, if you ask them, stop them and say, ask them, should they stop? They'll say, yeah, it is. But I'm actually kind of busy because I'm bringing my kids to soccer practice and I've got to go to work. Most people don't actually history happens mostly to a small amount of people. You know what I mean? It's actually like any big event in human history, the overwhelming majority of people at that time actually were kind of, were bystanders.
Yeah.
That's all, you know, it's always the way. And then we all imagine ourselves in retrospect having been kind of central characters to it. And it's true of Irish history as well. You know what I mean? Like all the big kind of formative moments when it comes to modern Irish identity, say from 1916 onwards and everything. Like, I mean, there was an absolute minority of Irish people involved on either side.
That's true.
In any dispute. Again, you stop and ask people their views and that's slightly different. They'll have expressed the support. But, you know, I just, you know, I don't know what kind of point I'm trying to make here is that it would take an awful lot to get an overwhelming majority of people out in the street to oppose anything.
Then what do we do?
Well, I think it also, to that point, would only take a small, active minority of people to change the discourse, right? But I think that there are fewer and fewer opportunities for people to change the discourse when any of the people who are saying this stuff end up having their shows cancelled, end up the network that they work for gets sold to somebody who is on Trump's approved lists or has already curried favour with Trump, and all of a sudden you find yourself with essentially a monoculture in terms of, well, the leader is good, the leader is great, we surrender our will as of this date.
Like, yeah.
So you
just worry it's gone too far. Like, and it was easy to talk in abstract terms about polarization and tribalization and this idea that people stopped caring what somebody said as long as it was their guy who said it. And it was almost a curiosity the way we kind of talked about that. And now you realize that actually, you know, that is what allows this type of thing to then continue unchecked, because there's a whole cohort of the population who, you say, kind of, why aren't they out protesting or doing anything about it? Because they don't think anything was wrong.
because they can, because this is their guy scoring one over on a guy who's representative of the so-called enemy within.
Yeah.
And that's, they've absolutely, that's, and they're just, they're like, and the, any of the rest of us, they're products of their environment. And if you're just bombarded with this day in, day out, and have been since the NFL started broadcasting on Fox and you flicked over to Fox 20 odd years ago, that's going to be your worldview as well. It's going to be completely informed by it.
What's scary is being 1 year in to a 4 year presidency and talking about this now.
Is it 4 years? I mean, that's like,
yeah, exactly. Long. Yeah. Oh, such naivete, Saoirse.
1 year into an unlimited of power.
Anyway, on that cheerful note, who's your sinner of the week, Saoirse?
My sinner of the week. We're actually staying stateside in America, but I have another reason to have a grudge against them today. My sinner of the week is Americans and their plastics. I was, as I was just saying, in America last week. I was in Nashville and I was in New Orleans, and it was amazing. It was fantastic. But everywhere that we went, we were served plastic. I'm surprised my air wasn't served to me in plastic when I walked outside. It was, you'd be given plastic cutlery wrapped in plastic. All of your coffee was in polystyrene cups. There was plastic straws again, which initially, I won't lie, were kind of a welcome.
Yes.
I liked them.
They're way better. I don't think the planet's worth saving if the cost is cardboard straws.
I was like, look,
you know my view.
It's not, and I had a weird, like, pasta straw before. Like, I was like, this is great.
Pasta straw?
Yeah, I've had a pasta straw before. It's really weird. So I was like, you know what? I'm actually okay with this plastic straw.
They're fine.
Pasta straw. You've had a pasta straw.
Yeah.
Sorry, is that not just linguine or something? Or what's it called?
It's big. They're
you really take, it feels like plastic.
Just loads of penne glued together.
Yeah, and it kind of comes out the crack.
Yeah.
But every single thing was in plastic, to the point where, like, it was genuinely horrifying. And you're sat there thinking, I can't believe I go home and I separate my rubbish. I actually can't believe that I go back to Ireland and I have my compost bin, my recycling bin, and my regular bin. And what is the actual point when over here, there's only one bin for everything, everything's tossed in there. It was crazy. We were split as a group. Half of us were like, this is class. Nothing is dissolving. This is amazing. I do think I'm in the minority because I really don't hate wooden cutlery. I'm fine with it. But half of our cohort were very vehemently against wooden cutlery.
It soaks the saliva out of your mouth, doesn't it?
It kind of tastes.
It's manky.
You're against
it's so
forks.
Manky.
Okay, well, I'll keep up my side.
My food tastes the same and not nice.
I'll be the one person who's flying the flag for wooden forks, but
yeah,
it was
while
just,
the planet burns around you.
Yeah, but the straws, you can keep those. Sorry.
All right.
But it was just crazy.
Right, another sinner of the week, plastic use in the United States. Maybe not quite the same existential threat to the world as the collapse of democracy. A threat nonetheless.
Fascism anyway, and forks.
Saoirse and Jarrett will be back in a moment with the last bit of the show.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Yeah, Saoirse Hanley and Ger Gilroy are both still with me with the last bit of the show. You're just back from Poland, Ger?
Yeah, from the west to the east. Was in Krakow.
Great city.
Unbelievable.
Fabulous city.
Isn't it?
I'd never been before.
Oh, it's brilliant. Tell
lovely
me, what things did you do there?
Well, we were at a conference. We were in a hotel for the vast majority of the time.
Oh, lovely.
So we didn't get to the salt mines.
Salt mines are incredible.
Are they?
They're so brilliant. They are so brilliant. And people are a bit like, meh. Are they really brilliant?
So
just the scale of them. There's a cathedral underground made of salt.
Okay.
Yeah, so people would they would just basically spend all of their. They essentially built a town under the ground out of salt. It's absolutely. It is. It's an incredible place to go and see. It's rare to kind of be able to get down a mine. There's very few tourist attractions that are, let's go down this old mine shaft.
Oh, they've got the caves.
Which is kind of exciting as well.
The caves in Kilkenny, of course.
The
of
Dunmore course. Caves, yes. Yeah, yes. The Alleywee Caves over in the west.
Which is 10 caves down home.
Yeah.
Are they less impressive than the salt mines?
They're slightly less impressive than salt mines. Salt mines are hugely impressive.
And say there was a claustrophobic person who would be in your group, would they be okay?
I think they would, yeah.
Okay.
A bit narrow on the stairs going down. There's little stairs you go up and down between different levels. But it's colossal under the ground. Like huge, big cavernous areas that they would have chiseled out of the ground.
Somebody was saying the old town was one of the few towns in Europe that didn't ever have any war damage done to it. So it's all...
It's gorgeous.
Oh, it's still entirely walled. The cathedral that Karol Wojtyla was bishop in is still there, yes.
Do you have any of those breads that they sell on the side in a little truck?
I didn't. Were they nice?
Did you go to the square though in the old town?
Yeah, we had a quick kind of
quick poked your head in
exactly.
And left again.
It's lovely.
Very easy to get to, direct flights. And like while we were there, the little Action Man cosplay was happening at their border, and they were like, no, we're just going to keep going on with our lives. Like it's the existential threat to democracy is real when Putin lands some drones in you and then gets his tanks up to your border.
Yeah, I know.
And us having a little, you know, and we're like, that's all on TV, isn't it? But it's not really on TV for these people. It is absolutely mad that that's happening.
But right, it just there speaks to the fact, to go back to an earlier conversation, most people just, you just get up, the man of bat's got nine, you just have to get up and you still have to just go to work and then cook dinner in the evening and do all the normal things.
To that end, I think it is important that we go to these parts of Europe and show up and do the tourist things and to help support the economy, which, by the way, is booming. Their economy, they still have the zloty and it's been incredible.
Yeah. No, Poland, I love Poland. Yeah. Last time I was in Krakow twice, but I was trying to work it out because I was talking to other people who were with you and on that trip. I was there 2006, the World Cup. Isn't that when the World Cup was in Germany?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the last time I was there. It's only 20 years ago.
Okay, well, apparently it's changed a lot. It has it has undergone an economic miracle. Them not going into the Euro was a really good thing for them, apparently.
Hmm.
You can't say that.
What currency do they use?
The zloty.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, it is great. Krakow, I'd highly, highly recommend it. I was in Russia when they invaded Georgia as well.
All right.
Back in 2008 as well.
Very Forrest Gump of you.
And like that, we didn't even know what had happened.
Right.
Yeah, we didn't know what happened until we got to Mongolia.
They sure as hell weren't reporting it.
No, they didn't. They didn't come over to the tannoy in the train. Just to let you know, our glorious troops, and they played the Soviet anthem. Anyway.
Take your wallet with you.
It is a great anthem, given that. Anyway, Saoirse, you wanted to mention something.
Something, yeah, something at all. No, my boyfriend has gone on a holiday by himself, might I add. My nail tech last night made me show him a picture to prove that he wasn't, quote, a weirdo for going away by himself. But because he's
You don't mean just without you, but he's gone without anyone.
Without anybody, yeah. He's gone hiking to the most northerly pub in the UK. So as we speak, he's hopefully getting somewhere. He's got 3 days to get there, so he's...
And where'd he start?
Great question.
Where's the most northerly pub? Not John O'Groats.
No,
you must be like in...
Do you know in Harry Potter the viaduct bridge? If you could see that eye roll, there's a train. That's basically that location where that train goes. Where that viaduct is up that way.
Sorry, the most northerly pub surely in the UK is like in Kirkwall in the Orkneys,
the Hebrides or somewhere.
Yeah, or somewhere
possibly,
up there.
Maybe
yeah.
I'm completely getting his trip wrong, but he's gone to a northerly point to go.
He's gone on the beer in Scotland.
He's gone on the beer in Scotland.
And he's suggested that there's some sort of cultural value in it by calling it the most northerly pub.
It's a route people do. It is a 3-day route that people take.
Is worse. Does he think north just means up and it's the pub with the highest altitude?
He has seen a couple before. He's aware of it. He's carrying a physical map, okay?
Does he think Johnny Fox's is the most northerly pub in Ireland because it's the highest?
But my point being, because he's gone and I've come back from my trip and realised that I'm back here in the house by myself, and I realised I've become absolutely useless. I walked into the kitchen yesterday and I was like, what the hell is my breakfast bowl still doing here? I was like, can't believe that needs cleaning. Whoa. And then I was like, whoa, wait, there's a whole thing of laundry there. And then I was like, wait a second, hang on. And then I was confronted by the fact that apparently I do nothing. Well, I mean, I have to now, but apparently I do nothing. And I have a fantastic house husband, clearly.
You thought there was just this magic basket and you hadn't told anyone about it in case it jinxed it.
And I really prided myself on being like an eldest daughter, like of a single parent family. I'm, you know, grafter, I'm independent, I do all these things. Moved in with my boyfriend, don't do a single thing. Barely lift a finger. I have to make dinner for myself.
No wonder he's gone on the lash in Scotland.
Yeah. Do you know what I would do? I would leave me behind too.
Anyway, on that note, when did you back?
Monday.
All right. Okay. Saoirse Hadley.
Feed me till then.
Features writer with the Irish Independent. Hopefully we'll make it through the weekend. Ger Gilroy from Off the Ball. Thank you as well. I'll be back on Monday from 4. Have a good one.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4. On News Talk.